to C3 Church Hepburn Heights. We believe Jesus Christ gives life to the full, and we are called to live it and share it. We pray you enjoy this message today.
We have our Bibles open.
We do.
Aren't we? This
looks official.
Good Christians. So we're gonna do this together, babe.
Yeah, we are.
We're kind of conversational tag team preaching.
Yes.
So to speak. So here, let's read together. So feel free, open your Bible at home. Psalm 42.
Yeah, we're going to read out of Psalm 42, just a selection of verses there. So if you want to grab your Bible, it's also coming up on the screen, but let's have a look here in Psalm 42.
Beautiful.
As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God.
Yeah.
My soul thirsts for God, the living God. And then down to verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God.
Yeah.
Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you.
Yeah. Wow. It's good.
It is good.
I like hearing you read the Bible.
Aww,
we have gone through seasons in our married life where we've read the Bible together.
And I thought you were going to say, I've read the Bible to you. That would have been a bit weird.
No, but when we read it out, I always want you to read.
Because
she's a far better reader and just nice hearing.
I think you have nice tone voice as well.
Thanks. Back to what we're talking about.
Back to what we're talking about.
Yeah, so we have this psalm and this Psalm 42 and 43 were actually part of a song and a song sung together. And it's interesting. We were talking about this going, can you imagine singing this out loud? And well, you don't have to imagine, because maybe I could just
burst it out,
into it.
Let's go.
And why my soul?
Are you singing or rapping?
I don't know. That wasn't a rap.
But it was like words.
Why my soul? Are you so downcast?
See, when we did this at home, he immediately went country and western.
Yeah. Not a genre I normally listen to, but it kind of works with
my
my dog died.
It's that kind of lament.
Flat tire.
That country and western lament. Why?
And so we're making light of really a heart's cry here.
Yeah.
But this was designed to be externalized. And obviously there's a lot of movement happening in our world, and there are people who are hurting very tangibly in physical ways, in financial ways, in emotional ways.
Yeah.
And so this, you know, some of this may feel like your home right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think like in seasons of this, I'm so thankful for the Psalms. That it's really where we can find a real sense of familiarity and comfort in these times, because the Psalms essentially deal with human emotion.
Yeah.
They are chapters upon chapters of human expression and the whole gamut of that, everything from, you know, the greatest joys to the deepest valleys. And so I think by reading these Psalms, they actually awaken things in us in terms of our emotion. They help shape things within us. They enable us to express and process. And so, you know, I've seen a lot of pastors and preachers and leaders this week actually return to the Psalms and really spend time in the Psalms, because I think it's so important in a season like this to really delve into the Word of God in a very real expressionate way.
Yeah, in a way that helps us process what we're feeling. And it's important for us to know that acknowledging our humanity doesn't deny God's divinity.
Yeah, well, that's like a good quote, babe. I like that.
It's my quote, but
it
works.
Great. I love it.
We're not downplaying God's magnificence by owning the fact that maybe I'm struggling right now
or
something's difficult in my experience externally or internally or both. And it's okay for us to go to that place, and the Psalms also then take us to a place of how to process that, where we're not passive in our emotion, our feeling, our circumstance, but we're active in engaging with God and moving through it. And that's so critical, that we're not passive, static, stuck, but that we're active, working with them. And we'll share a bit of our experience of that in a sec. Well, do you want to go there now, babe?
Yeah, I think I really want to pick up in verse 5, in that latter part of the verse. put your hope in God. And so we see here the psalmist is, why my soul, why are you sound so downcast? Why are you so disturbed? So there's this real wielding of emotion. There's this real lament and then straight to put your hope in God. And I guess I've had a real experience of that this week. So earlier in the week, as I've been kind of trying to process and kind of figure things out, and you know, I'm quite a personality type that likes her ducks in a row and likes things organized and likes a sense of process. And I know for many of us, this whole season has really caught us by surprise. I know some of the initial information that came through, we were perhaps like a little bit dismissive of and went, that's probably not going to affect us here in Australia, never mind in Western Australia. And so I had kind of put it to one side. And so in some ways, it felt like earlier in this week that I had started running a marathon when I thought I was simply going to the letterbox to check the mail. So I was going about our ordinary everyday things, probably in my pajamas, heading to the letterbox, and then suddenly I'm running a marathon.
Thrust into a marathon.
Thrust into this marathon of, oh my goodness, this requires so much change. This requires so much of us personally, so much of us corporately. And there was this absolute obsession that began with, I just need to know when it's going to end. Mm. And so earlier this week, I felt like, okay, I'm clearly now running a marathon, or maybe even more than a marathon.
Yeah.
If I can just find where the end point is, if I can just find where the conclusion is, then I'll have a sense of peace and a sense of security. And so I became actually a bit obsessive in reading information, what's happened in other parts of the world. Tell me when this is going to end. Tell me what we've actually signed up for. Tell me how long this is going to go for, because then I've started to place my hope in that. I thought, if my hope just attaches itself to the conclusion, I'll feel okay. Because hope needs to attach itself to something. You can't just hope in hope. You can't just hope in an abstract idea. You actually need to attach it to something. And so I felt almost obsessive about attaching hope to the conclusion. Please just let me know when this will end, and then I'll feel better.
Well, like, is this a 12K, or is it a marathon?
Yeah.
Or is it an ultra marathon?
Yeah. is it a triathlon and I've got to swim as well?
That
oh,
I don't
goodness me.
Know about, and so you were desperate to figure it out.
Yeah. Yeah. And so I became a little bit obsessive about that because I had attached my hope to conclusion. But then God really started to challenge me and started to speak to me and was like, Em, you can't attach your hope to the conclusion here.
Wow.
The only place you can attach your hope to is me. That verse 5 there, that second part, put your hope in God.
Yeah, wow.
I had to place my hope in God, not in the conclusion, not in the outcome, because all of that right now is totally up in the air. We don't know what this landscape is going to look like from day to day, never mind from week to week. And so I can't place my hope in there. I need to place my hope in God. And what is amazing and beautiful and significant about that is that he hasn't changed. Nothing about him, our God, has changed in this season.
Come on.
He is as equally as dependable and as reliable. He is as equally as unconditional in his love. And so I can be assured by putting my hope in him. And so I changed my thinking, changed some of my action, and really started to attach my hope to God, not attaching my hope to the conclusion.
But that wasn't... So that's point number one for today, right? And I think it's come up on the... up on the screen there for you. So not hope in the conclusion or knowing when this is going to end or exactly what it's going to look like on the flip side. And those are important
things. Yeah.
But more important than that is our hope is anchored in God.
Yeah.
But that was a difficult transition for you. There was a battle.
Yeah, yeah.
There, right?
Yeah, I was really easy to live with for a couple of days there.
to stop doing some things that weren't helpful.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a really conscious decision, and it was a wrestle. It felt like a human wrestle because my nature kept wanting to obsess, wanting to read certain things, wanted to, please just let me know this, let me just read this article, let me just find out this information. It kept wanting to pull itself and be attached to that. So I had to keep wrestling my humanity to attach itself to God, attach my soul to God, putting my hope in God.
Yeah. And so you said you stopped doing a few things and started doing a few other things to aid in that process.
Yeah.
And I think that's helpful for us. Again, we're not static in this. There are certain things that are so far out of our control, and that's unsettling. Mm. Naturally, that is unsettling.
Yeah.
And the more we lean towards enjoying control and stability, then the more it's going to feel challenging. Like, yourself.
Yeah. Well, there was sort of reactive things and proactive things I did. So there was a few things that I stopped and then a few things that I started and I'll get to those
a little bit later. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Beautiful. Beautiful. So we have the interesting combo and so you'll associate to one more than the other. Em's more a thinker and I'm more a feeler. So in a sense, we maybe have opposite roles.
Gender-wise, maybe in this relationship. Stereotypically.
So the feeling aspect of the Psalms really it works for how I'm wired. And so again, if we look at verse 5 and 6 here, so why, my soul, are you downcast? And the word downcast has the sense of sinking.
Yeah, wow.
So why is there a sinking feeling in my soul? Why so disturbed within me? And disturbed here is it's a noisy, it's an internal groan, and it's a sense of restlessness.
Yeah, wow.
And that can be, and I've talked to a lot of people recently, and that's not an unfamiliar sense for a lot of people. And so there's this acknowledgement of the feeling, of the sense, which is based around a circumstance, what's on the outside then invading the inside. But then it's incredible how the psalmist here acknowledges the circumstance, but then goes to, there's this engagement, this choice, put your hope in God.
Yeah, wow.
So I'm feeling this way, this is reality, but I'm not stuck, I'm not passive, I'm not a victim. Here's my choice, I choose to put my hope in God.
Yeah.
And that's challenging. But then it goes on to verse 6. So, sorry, to finish verse 5, then, put your hope in God, for I will praise him, my Savior and my God. Mm. Verse 6, my soul is downcast within me. It's almost like verse 5, hey, I'm going to try this.
Yeah.
Here's how I feel.
He's having now, a stern talk to himself.
Yeah, so come on, self.
Come on, self.
Remember the bigger, the ultimate macro reality. Remember God. But hey, it hasn't worked as well as I thought.
Yeah.
And so now I need verse 6.
It's not quick. There's not a quick process.
Yeah,
a quick transition.
Yeah, you're not failing because it didn't work the first time you tried to pull yourself up or take a hold of God's word or God's truth, and we still felt flat at the end. Doesn't mean you're failing. Here we see this written, my soul is downcast within me.
Yeah.
But again, then it goes straight into, therefore, I will remember you.
Yeah.
Remember him. Therefore, I will remember you. And so my point here is that our feelings aren't fixed.
Yes.
Our feelings aren't fixed.
Yeah.
And there is a choice that we see in the psalmist here and the sons of Korah in this song that they've crafted from their experience, from their connection with God and the up and down of the human struggle and the pressure and the drama and the decision to continually go to him, is we see this, here's how I'm feeling, but I'm not stuck in my feelings. I'm not, this isn't my fixed point, but I'm going to carry them to you.
Yeah.
And I'm going to see you.
Yeah.
Do a miracle on the inside of me.
Yeah.
And then maybe that shapes my circumstance. Maybe it doesn't. I don't understand God if there are bigger lessons that are for me to learn here. And so I can't control, I can't crowbar my will into reality. I can believe for you to move, but ultimately I know that you want to move in in me. Yeah. And so I've had a couple of days where I felt just super flat, where it would be easier to spend a couple of days watching Netflix than to have to lead through so much change.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And to having like these multiple lines of what if.
Yeah, wow.
And for us personally, for our church, for people that we're walking with. And so I've had to try and live this where if I lived by my feelings and felt fixed in them, then I wouldn't be sitting here today.
Yes.
And you guys know the deal that sometimes you don't feel like being a parent. But if we've got these kids in our house, now these kids in our house a lot more.
Yes.
Now they're not at school, then there's got to be something bigger than our feelings.
Yeah.
And so it's the same here. And so I love this. And if we just go back for a sec to praise. So from verse 5, put your hope in God, for yet I will praise him. I will praise him.
Yeah, wow.
This, the essence here, praise, is to express, is to confess, is to voice.
Yeah, wow.
And so there's an action here, and it's in a sense, we have this crazy ability given to us by God where we can prophesy passion into our soul.
Yeah, wow.
Where we can choose with our declaration what's going to be happening on the inside.
Yeah.
And so while this is difficult, and I haven't felt like this as much as I would like to, it's far easier when you feel it. But I've had to make some choices, and I want to encourage us to that our feelings aren't fixed. We're not stuck there, but let's see the bigger picture in light of him and make some declarations, make some choices and prophesy passion, the sound of praise, prophesy it into our soul.
Yeah.
Let's
do
it.
Yeah, that's beautiful.
Let's do it.
And so I kind of want to add to that. So that they're therefore always in anything based on text is, you know, that phrase of see what it's there for. And so I love that in verse 6, my soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. Like, that's actually a bizarre connection.
Yeah.
So my soul is downcast, therefore I will remember you. Those two statements actually in some ways don't go together, but as Jason's unpacked,
therefore I want to sit in my
my soul is downcast
therefore
within me.
Therefore, I feel flat.
Therefore, I'm going to watch lots of Netflix.
Therefore, I'm going to sulk right now and feel justified in my sulking.
Yes.
My soul is downcast.
I'm going to hide under the blankets and not come out for the next however long.
Therefore, I can be mean to my wife and it's okay. No, it's not okay.
It's never okay.
The therefore takes us to a different reality.
Yeah, and so the therefore here actually feels in some ways counter-human. Like it's not where we want to go, but the psalmist here is modeling, as Jace has said, the sense of doing not what we feel like doing, but actually what we need to do.
Wow.
And so I shared earlier in this week this whole kind of concept of don't feed the monster.
Yeah.
And that was a phrase that I woke up with in my head earlier this week. And it's been a phrase that we've kind of banded around at home sometimes, and particularly when my children have been dealing with something that is significant or scary or has got them feeling a level of anxiety. I've used this phrase of don't feed the monster. And my dad, hey Dad, reminded me this week that it's actually from Lewis Carroll, from a very famous piece of poetry he wrote called The Jabberwocky. Now, some of you may not know who Lewis Carroll is. My husband needed reminding, but he wrote Alice in the Looking Glass, was a very famous poet and author in the 1800s, and was actually also an Anglican deacon. So he wrote this poem about the Jabberwocky, and the essence of it is actually this concept of don't feed the monster. Now, what that means is, just as we've heard Jay say, is in seasons like this, acknowledging the feeling is actually really important.
Yeah.
So it can feel like in a season like this that there is a monster in our room, a monster in our house. And it's kind of like when I've talked to my kids in the past about this is, yes, you are scared right now. Yes, this thing is scary. Yes, there is uncertainty. Yes, you are feeling the pressure. So it's acknowledging that the monster is in the room, so to speak. But then we actually have a choice whether we feed that monster, whether we actually make that monster the thing. So rather than it just sitting in the corner of our room and acknowledging it, we can actually feed it and make it bigger. It can actually take up the whole room, whole space, the whole house.
We don't want that.
And in a season like this, this monster of uncertainty, this monster of pandemic, this monster that is bringing crisis and fear and confusion and hardship and disturbance and all those things, we can feed that monster and make it become the only thing in our homes, or we can choose to acknowledge it and then figure out how to actually not feed it.
Yeah, great.
And so how do we do that? What does that look like? Well, it all comes down to what we're thinking, what we're reading, and what, as Jace's just said, what we're declaring, what we're actually speaking out. And so I was challenged in this earlier in the week that stop feeding the monster, M. Stop obsessing over all of those articles, all that info on Facebook, every news report. Stop just speaking about this virus in every conversation, in every opportunity. Stop lying in bed just thinking about this constantly, because all I'm doing is feeding the monster. All I'm doing is making the monster of this coronavirus take over every aspect of our lives. And so it's important in this season to think about what are we feeding. Are we feeding this monster steak sandwiches? Because all we're reading is related to the pandemic.
Four or five hours. News articles and
is
conversations.
Is the TV just on in the background? Every news report, everything that's available, is that just all that's being fed into our hearts and our homes?
Yeah.
And so I just had to make some really strict decisions with myself that I'm not going to feed it. Yes, it's here, but I'm not going to make it become the only thing, which comes back to that whole concept of therefore. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will not feed the monster. Therefore I will remember you. I will feed the spirit person within me. I will feed my soul with good things, as Paul talks about. Think about what is lovely and noble and kind and generous. That's what I want to feast on in this season. Those good gifts God has given me and the goodness of God. Remembering God.
So finding ways to bring that into your world and not just chewing on the negative, feeding the monster. I think it's such a good visual image. But feeding, and so we're putting more worship on in the home and just making the choice to be in the Bible. And often you don't feel like it. I find the times I need to be most in the Word are the times I don't feel like it. And so then we,
it's great
again,
how that happens.
We
like
make
that,
a choice to discipline our disposition where that doesn't rule. We're not fixed in that place, but we have to make a choice like we see the psalmist doing here. And we're gonna move into a time of communion in just a moment, and what we see in communion is this extraordinary transaction.
Beautiful.
And I want us to bring whatever we need to bring before the Lord today. And we're all in different situations, different places, and thankfully our Savior knows. He knows exactly where you're at, what you need. And so let's open up our heart for Him to come in. And it's important that we, to access God's provision, we have to make the choice to not be bound by our disposition, but to open up for Him so that He can move in our world. And so this is an opportunity to open our hearts to Him. And so I want to remind us again from verse 5. Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. And we see this repeated in verse 5 and then verse 11 and then at the end, verse 5 of Psalm 43. So three times this is repeated through the song that would have been sung. And we need to repeat this to ourselves and let it be our reality. And so I want you to take a hold of those emblems where you are. And we have some here. And to take a hold of the bread and take a hold of the cup, representing the body of our Savior and the blood shed for us. And let's remember what he has done and the freedom that he purchased for us. And let's remember too, when times are tough, that God's extraordinary love for us is not incompatible with human suffering.
No.
They're not mutually exclusive. That what we even see in communion is God's extraordinary love through human suffering and all that Jesus went through to purchase our freedom. And so just because we're in a difficult season, it doesn't mean we're not loved or he's not there with us. That's when he is the closest. He will never leave us or forsake us as we open our hearts to him. And so, Lord, as we gather together today in our different homes, we want to honor you. And so as we come to eat the bread, we thank you, Jesus, for your extraordinary love, your sacrifice. We thank you that you made a way, that you were willing to take in your flesh the punishment that was ours so that this connection could be created for us and you. And so be honored here as we remember you today. So go ahead, let's eat together. Lord, we thank you for this cup. We thank you. It represents your blood that was shed. We thank you for the sacrifice. And Lord, for the great exchange, your blood shed in the place of ours. And so, Lord, we surrender. We step into that exchange again. And Lord, the feelings that are going on in our world, maybe some very real circumstances that are causing a whole lot of reactions inside of us. God, we choose not to be stuck in that place, but we surrender our emotion. God, every human emotion that is with inside of us is designed to be processed through you. So we give it to you. And God, we thank you as we even surrender in this moment and partake, Lord, that there is a great exchange. We receive your victory, not just there and then, but here and now for us. Be glorified, Jesus. We honor you. We remember you. Let's go ahead. Let's drink together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Amen.
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 Thanks so much for joining us here on our podcast. We encourage you to let this word further help you live and share the life to the full that Jesus gives. If you want to check out more about our upcoming events, service times, locations, or to give online, go to c3hh.com.au.